And I did that in Google Docs. We'll get to that in a second, but I just pasted that in here.
Okay. This is a performance review for Greg.
Right. Written by Google's AI.
I'm going to show you that.
And so I pasted it in here, and basically you can see it did a AI detection score. Says 100% of it was written by AI.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How does it know that?
This Week in Startups is brought to you by Lemon.io. Get access to Lemon Hire, a platform with more than 80,000 pre-vetted engineers that you can interview within 48 hours. Get $2,000 off your first hire at lemon.io/hire today. Codecademy, build the future you want to see with Codecademy. Codecademy Pro helps you learn everything you'll need to shape what comes next in the tech space. Try it free for 14 days. Visit codecademy.com/twist. And NetSuite. Once your business gets to a certain size, the cracks start to emerge. Things you used to do in a day take a week. You deserve a customized solution, and that's NetSuite. Learn more when you download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/twist.
All right, everybody, welcome back to This Week in Startups. Sorry we didn't have a Monday mantra for you. I am traveling all over the globe, and we had to tape our AI segment and our demos for you later in the week, but Sunny Mantra is back. Welcome back to the show. Sunny Sandeep Mantra.
Yes.
Sorry about the delay here.
How's the traveling been, Jaco? Give us a...
Pretty fantastic. You know, I'm learning a lot, and it's been really a great eye-opening trip. Had a lot of conversations, you know, staying up till 1 a.m. talking about technology and venture capital and politics and geopolitics and the pod and everything. It's just crazy.
And what's been the mix between founders, investors, and fans? Like, how does that, what's the mix?
Pretty interesting. I have to say, you know, I get, when I come to an industry event here, because, you know, Americans are not in Saudi or UAE, Dubai, Abu Dhabi all the time, I get a hero's welcome and a lot of selfies, and then just tons of requests to meet. So I've been meeting with a lot of interesting companies. I met with my new favorite startup. It's called Bread Fast.
Okay.
Bread Fast.
Bread
get it
fast.
Like breakfast.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's Bread Fast.
Yeah.
It's Uber for bread. It's the greatest brand name ever. Once you hear Bread Fast, you can never get this name out of your brain.
Yeah.
Because it's breakfast, but it's Bread Fast.
Wow.
And the bread, Sunny, comes fast like an
fast.
Uber.
Fast. So basically, they partner up like with local bakeries and get you your favorite.
I think they are the bakery, and
they're the
Uber layer. So they get you your bread fast.
Bread fast.
And so I met the founder. They're doing like 100 million in bread in the region. And and then he asked me, oh, where are you staying? And I told him where I'm staying. And then at like 8 in the morning, I knock on my hotel room door. They give me 3 giant shopping bags full of every possible amount of bread. You know, so I have a little bread and I had a little chocolate croissant. And then I gave my driver, I got a driver here when I'm in the region, I gave him 3 giant bags of bread. He was really happy. Quite charming. So shout out to all the founders I've been meeting with. And there's tons of LPs out here, family offices. The family offices are absurdly sophisticated. These are like family offices that have been running for 50 years.
Of course. You
know, since the inception of the region. So they've been building real grinded out businesses, like operationally hard businesses to like build a nation, like concrete and gas and oil and Pepsi and money transfer. You know, it's just been really eye-opening. And the amount of change going on here, social change, economic change, political change, everything is just wild to watch.
I mean, there's graffiti really behind you.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a really cool co-working space in Riyadh called The Garage that houses 150 startups. I kid you not. And I'm walking around here. This is a, and this is not like a fake thing. Like they're here working, you know, and taking selfies with me. You know, there's 35 million people in Saudi, and they're really well-heeled customers with a really high ARPU, the average revenue per user. And UAE, same thing. You know, it's smaller, but a lot of revenue. And then you got places like Egypt with 100 million customers just waiting there to engage with products. And the American companies don't come here that quick. So, you know, there'll be a local buy now, pay later that's doing incredibly well. There'll be firms that come here, you know, I don't want to say copycats, but they'll build localized versions of other ideas from around the world.
Yeah.
Careem being the delivery service here. But then they put a spin on it. So like Careem, the local service here, is like a super app. You can press a button and have your apartment or house cleaned. So like that whole Uber for cleaning your house, like that exists here, right? So they kind of add to the mix. And yeah, tremendous. The startups here and the founders are kind of like, I would say, New York in the 90s, if I had to pick, okay. You know, like an emerging market like that, where then, you know, the second decade, you see like, you know, really big companies come out of it. In the third decade, giant companies come out of it. It's kind of like Australia is now, you know, or maybe before Atlassian, that kind of situation.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big story. The startups coming out of here, the investment coming out of here. It'll be the number two region for venture capital investment.
Wow.
And backing venture capital funds within 10 years, I predict.
Do you say like North America, Middle East, Europe? That's what it'll become, then Asia?
I think that'll be the order. Yeah. And I think Europe is like just not going to, with the exception of like Sweden, you know, and I just think they're just not as hungry. And the growth in population is occurring in Asia, Southeast Asia, Africa, North Africa. So if that's where all the growth of customer is, and those, many of those markets are what they call emerging frontier markets.
Yep.
And then above that is emerging markets. Those are the markets that really, like, you know, if you invest in and you put products and services in those markets, you're going to grow with those markets as they adopt technology. And
that's the
JCal
sweet spot too. That's the JCal sweet spot.
There you go. So I'm not investing in any of these regions yet.
Okay.
It's not part of our mandate yet. But you know, the amount of interest, you know, This Week in Startups is incredibly popular over there. People watch this episode. A couple of people specifically mentioned the AI demos and they love them. So let's get to it.
Let's do it. Awesome. All right. Okay. So we got some great demos lined up today. We're going to start with something that's boring, but important. And it's called Legal Now, especially, you know, we're talking startups, we're talking building companies. And one of the things that Silicon Valley law firms have done for a while is definitely partner with startups to kind of give you the package of goods. And the thing I've seen this current iteration is that still get that done, but, you know, firms are, you know, still pricey and it still costs you significant amount of money to get set up. And sometimes you need some template things. And so this company is called, you know, legalnow.xyz, powered by AI. And, you know, you buy yourself the credits and they've got some pre-templated documents that can be created for you. Employment agreements for interns, like an equity incentive plan, terms of use, privacy policies, NDAs. You've done all these things before, right? Sales agreements, SaaS agreements. Yeah. And so I did one earlier here. I had this like internship agreement, right? The summer is going to roll around pretty quick. We want to get interns. And so basically, it gives you the template here. You fill in the name of the company, the effective dates.
Wow.
And basically, it spits out the document for you with all the pieces that you need. And you're off to the races.
So there have been templated sites like LegalZoom as an example. Yeah. So how do you feel this is different in using, you know, AI to do this?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, and like, you know, I thought the same thing when I was looking at it, it's a cost thing. And so, you know, LegalZoom is great, still way cheaper than using, you know, like a Silicon Valley law firm, but this brings it down and this lets you iterate it a little bit more, which I thought was, you know, pretty interesting. And you can basically ask for more edits through their AI, assistant here as well. And so you can kind of tune it a bit more. Like, it's not a straight template. That's what you'd sort of get out of LegalZoom. It allows you to sort of modify it for your use cases, which I think is helpful. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, a shout out to the Legal Now team. This is going to get more and more interesting. The thing I would love to see is upload all of your legal documents to a service like this and tell me, explain them to me, teach me what this means. You know, I think you could do that with Claude. You know, if you uploaded a legal document, hey, you're a lawyer, explain in bullet points to your client what each of these segments mean. And, you know, I think, do you think you need a vertical AI to do this? Or a general language model to do it well, because legal stuff has big ramifications.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the interesting thing is there was some data that came out of one of the partners of OpenAI. The OpenAI funded this company called Harvey, and one of their partners, like a large accounting / legal firm, they basically posted the amount of savings they're getting by leveraging AI. And so what that says to me is, and that's built on OpenAI. So I think what you really want to do for these use cases right now is start with a, you know, a large frontier model like OpenAI, and then give it some fine-tuning information that you can, and then go from there. You don't have to start kind of from scratch and build something in this era.
If you've ever had to hire developers, you know it is a giant headache. Are they built for the startup grind? How do you know? If you hire the wrong developer, man, maybe they're going to drag your whole team down. Maybe they take you down some rabbit hole and you don't know what's going on. And then not only are you back to square one, you might be behind the eight ball, right? But if you hire the right developer, that could be a game changer. Let me introduce you to Lemon Hire. It's a platform that helps you find qualified senior developers who want to join your team. Lemon Hire pre-selects vets and matches tech candidates with high growth startups so founders can focus on building their vision. Here's why you can trust Lemon Hire. They got 80,000 pre-vetted engineers, and you can interview any of them within 48 hours notice. You pay nothing until you started onboarding. Lemon Hire is going to replace any of your hires for free in the first 30 days. So just go to lemon.io/hire, H-I-R-E, to get a special offer just for Twist listeners, $2,000 off your first hire. That's right, $2,000 off at lemon.io/hire, lemon.io/hire. Hire with confidence at lemon.io/hire.
I've got another demo queued up for next week because I don't have it ready here, which will do what you're saying, but for your company documents. So, all your financing documents and everything else. And so,
Fantastic. It's going
to
be
We're very excited to share that.
I mean, look for errors, look for things that contradict each other.
Or just explain things as well. Like, you know, tell me like what share classes exist and who owns how much and all that kind of stuff. So it's very cool. We'll have that up for next week. But very excited. So let's go to the next one here. All right. So the next one is I really liked a lot. And it's interesting because we're going to kind of flip back and forth between startups and some big company stuff today. So this one is called Rose.com. Think of it as a like an online spreadsheet, like Google Sheets is.
Yeah, it looks like Google Sheets. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it has AI built into it. So you have this like little tab here.
Ah.
And so, you know, I just got like a CSV of some sales data.
Okay.
The standard one that you use for testing and things like that. I just inserted it into here. And off the top, it like you hit this like little button right here, the AI analyst button.
Yeah, what is it? Everybody uses this little like diamonds or stars in the sky as the AI button now. I don't know how that became the standard, but it's like a twinkling star button.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like kind of magic, right? Is it maybe? It looks like magic, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so what this does here on its own, it does some quick insights, right? So without me doing anything, total number of units sold, average price, maximum unit cost, minimum revenue. And then it gives you some other deep dives you can do. So you can do deep dives by region. Ah. And this is all stuff it's doing on its own. And then it has like a text box here where you can ask questions. So you can say, was the earliest sale, right? And so it'll kind of analyze the table and it'll come back with that result. And so I got that one wrong. But or maybe the earliest order date. You know, what is the earliest order date?
I love that it's anticipating with the quick insights other questions you might ask, the maximum unit price, the minimum user price, the average user price.
This is where, you know, look, the idea is good, right? Yeah. And, you know, and
but you might
and
have you bad can data see, in there too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe there's, I don't think so, because this is like a well published thing. So we'll have to ask these guys to comment on it, right? Or, okay. What, let's say, is the maximum number of units sold? Let's see if it kicks that one out for us. But yeah, there we go. So that one kind of came out.
The maximum number of units sold was 9,000. Yeah. And if you said which month had the highest sales, you know, people like to know that question all the time from sales data.
Which
month had the highest sales? It'd be interesting. I think it's that right.
Yeah. Show me the table showing the month with the highest sales. So this kicked out down here, which is fascinating. Huh. So we can say insert table. And so... Oh, no, I got that wrong. But the idea here is, you know, a couple fold. Like one, you know, this is near and dear to us. Like we do this for very, very large data sets. So not spreadsheet kind of style, but like.
You're talking about definitive intelligence.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So we don't do it like on a spreadsheet level. We do it like on a data warehouse level. But, you know, this is a really interesting problem. It's becoming more and more relevant for folks that have data. And I think if you're dealing with spreadsheets, like something like this is the way to go for it. And
all right, so, I give this a C. It's you know, it's not working too well yet. I give legal now like a C+. It's interesting. Yep. Maybe a B-. What did you give it?
You know, funny enough, I used it. So because I used it, I'm going to give it a B+. Yeah, there was a piece of documentation I needed for definitive. And I said, I just kicked it out of there and it worked.
Love it.
Very related to the demo I showed you. So for an intern we're hiring, I said, well, you know, why should we go in? Yeah. And so I'm going to give it that.
Sounds like a low risk. Yeah.
This is a very hard problem. Their UI and everything is excellent, but like you saw here, there are some things that aren't working. But
Rose, you know, ROWS.com. Rose as in ROSE, the flower, but Rose as in columns and rows.
Yeah.
Got it. Great domain name, by the way. Shout out to the Rose.com team for getting a four-letter domain name in the dictionary. That's about a $250,000 domain name.
Yeah,
it should cost about $250,000.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. I like the UI. I like how they anticipated things. So, but you know, they didn't get things to work. So I think with that, we have to give them a C. But
yeah,
you know,
they, I gave a C.
They can come back and they can improve it. So
yeah, keep that's working, everybody. Sharpen your pencils, keep working.
Okay, I'm going to go to our next one, which I find this one really important because when I get things in my inbox now, I'm starting to get suspicious if it was written by AI or not.
Yes, and so, I have this problem right now. A lot of my replies on X feel like they were written by an AI bot.
So this is called originality.ai. In fact, one of the next demos, I created a performance review and I did that in Google Docs. We'll get to that in a second, but I just pasted that in here.
Okay, so this is a performance review for Greg.
Right, written by Google's AI.
Cousin
I'm going to show you this.
Got it. Yep. Okay.
And so I pasted it in here, and basically you can see it did a AI detection score. It says 100% of it was written by AI.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
How does it know that? So well, you put in something from ChatGPT-4, and it figured it out.
Yeah. Well, this was from Google. It wasn't from ChatGPT. But it was from an AI writer, and it put it in here, and it detected it, and you know, it costs 4 credits. And so there's been a lot of published research because this has been a big problem since the release of ChatGPT. And so a number of folks have written papers and methods that can be used to determine if AI is being used. And my guess is because, you know, we've talked about this a few times, the underlying data sources that came to provide the core of the training material are open source. If you use a model that has like majority of that, I'm sure you can kind of figure out that this has been written by an AI because you can kind of see the same patterns. So my guess is they're using AI to detect that this was written by AI.
They're using AI to detect it. So we don't actually know how it's doing it. Said another way.
I mean, just from them, maybe we could have them come in and talk about it. So I don't want to speak about their technology in too much detail. Yeah, yeah. They don't have a lot of details. They have
anything else on this one?
No, it's just like an AI detector. Yeah,
I mean, I'm giving it a B+, I think. I mean, I would like to know how it works, but it looks like it works. So
yeah,
it does what it says it does. So what more do I have to give it? It's like a single purpose. I just want to give a shout out to our friends over at OpenAI. Look, I asked it to give me a performance review for Cousin Greg from Succession. Did you read Succession? Did you watch Succession?
No, I haven't watched it.
Cousin Greg's like a bumbling idiot, you know, trust fund kid. And look, adaptability, fair, demonstrates learning curve and adapting to the corporate culture of Waystar Royco. Communication needs improvement, often struggles with clear and professional communication, prone to nervous rambling, which is true on the show.
Yeah.
Judgment exhibits growth in exhibits growth in judgment, but still displays naivete in certain strategic situations. I mean, professionalism lacks traditional core professional, however, shows authenticity and interactions. That's pretty good. This is pretty great. I don't know if producer Nick is here. He's a big fan of Succession and Cousin Greg. What do you think, Nick?
I think a big theme of the show is how much better ChatGPT is than every other product that's out there right now. At least that's what it sort of feels like to me. Like it feels like ChatGPT can do a lot of things better than verticalized AI tools by themselves. And I wonder if there's like a, I don't know, I guess you could call it like a Kanye West problem going on where, and this is pre-crazy Kanye, like everybody was always dubious about taking beats from Kanye, although because he was the world's best producer, but you were always getting his like B material when you were using his beat because he would always use his best beats for himself. Now, and Sonny, I'm curious, like, do you think that OpenAI is using their best version of GPT, whatever that is, for their own models, and whatever they're letting people build on is sort of a nerfed, but like slightly worse version of the model that they're using themselves? Like, will they always have an advantage?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was at a dinner last night. We were talking about this kind of from a different perspective. When you're using models, right? There's two things that are happening, and I'll get around to your answer. I'm long-winded, but I think it's important for everyone to understand. When you go to non GPT models that you're using directly, like Llama or something like that, you're basically interacting with the model itself. When you use OpenAI, you're actually interacting with an API, and that API could be doing and is definitely doing a lot of things beyond what the model can do, right? And, you know, one of the things is that for GPT-4, I think it's well agreed that it's a mixture of experts models. So it's not a single model. There's a few models underneath the API, and that gets kind of, the request gets forwarded to the appropriate one. And so that's one of the things that you may be seeing just in the general use of GPT-4 versus other models that are out there. Now, specifically to your question around like when you use the API versus you use the chat, I do think that you're getting different versions because the APIs get locked to specific model numbers and versions, and you see that when you're developing with it. So I would guess that the latest and greatest are always out in their consumer offerings because the terms of service and the level of service are different than what they have to offer in the APIs.
Hmm. So that's a long-winded way of saying yes. You're getting some different version of it, and they, who knows, maybe they could be sandbagging.
Yeah.
What did you give? Did you give a grade there?
I've tried a few of these different ones. I'm going to give this one like a B plus. Like I don't know what, like, it's just, it's a, you know, it's cumbersome. You got to copy and paste, but I hope the, you know, folks that are out there that need to deal with this can use it. I don't know what else it could do to be better. Maybe it should just be like a plugin or something.
If it was a plugin and when you were surfing the web, if it told you and showed you, but that would require a lot of processing power. You'd be processing everything.
Maybe you just push it like in your Gmail or something.
If you were an editor at the New York Times, it would be kind of cool if when you were on your computer editing things, it was always showing you in the CMS if it was edited or making it better.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Grammarly is always looking at any editing I'm doing and working on it. So that's going to be kind of an interesting thing. If everything you're looking at is being processed by AI in real time.
Yeah. But it could embed in a model locally that runs on your machine. Like, you don't have to go to GPT-4, right? They could take a smaller model, embed it locally on your machine, and it's running on your machine locally. So
I never thought about that. What if AI was running, you know, like the Copilot when I was surfing the web? What could you do? Like, what would you want to do? If it was telling you this was plagiarized, that'd be kind of interesting. Or if it's telling you like another person who disagrees with this point or other people talking about this topic, or if it thinks there's a fact wrong. So that'd be really interesting. Like, if I'm surfing a New York Times story and it's like, I think this is wrong, or I think this is biased language. Kind of cool, right? All right, everybody. We all know technology is moving at a blistering pace. We talk about it here every week, especially AI. And Codecademy's goal is to help you stay ahead. And so, if you've got some experience or you're brand new to coding, Codecademy is going to offer you everything you need to build your tech career. You want to build that tech stack, you want to build your skill stack, and you specifically want to gain skills in AI, full stack engineering, data science, cybersecurity. Twist listeners can try Codecademy Pro free for 14 days. We all know the world's changed. Large percentage of people, they don't think that college is the most important factor when hiring people. They want to know about specific vertical skills. So listen, what do you got to lose? 2 weeks free to check out everything Codecademy has to offer. This includes 400 courses covering everything from in-demand languages like Python and JavaScript to new courses in generative AI, large language models, and more. You're going to get step-to-step guidance on your career path, learn how to do real-world projects to build your portfolio. They're even going to help you with interview prep so that you nail that really important interview. And listen, once you get the job, you can work towards your next promotion, which is really what you should be doing. When you get that job, you should be looking at, hey, who's my boss? How do I get their job? Who's their boss? How do I get their job? Well, it's going to be experience and it's going to be skills. Codecademy is going to help you with both of those. Start your free trial today. Visit codecademy.com/twist to try Codecademy Pro free for 14 days. That's codecademy.com/twist.
There's a rumor that like the next MacBook that's coming out, or MacBook Pro, is coming, I think, with like 32 or 64 GPU cores. Did you see that, Nick? Probably tracking it more than I am, right? I saw it yesterday.
I saw that there's a big last minute Apple announcement that's coming on October 30th, and they're doing it at night and nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, I saw that 5 p.m. Why are they doing it at 5 p.m.?
5 p.m. Pacific, too. Prime time Eastern.
8 p.m. I wonder if it's something to do with like a live sports network or something. You know how they've been talking about maybe doing some deals with sports networks. So I wonder if it's something entertainment related. Is there anything going on that night in sports? Like,
I'll check
right now. Would be a lead into, because if there's like, I don't know, if it was TNT NBA, maybe they're making an announcement about the
NBA. That started yesterday, though. That started yesterday for us.
The first game of the season was yesterday. Yeah, the Knicks are playing tonight. Yeah. Today. So tonight, can't wait. Shout out to my Knicks.
Yeah, Apple already has an MLS deal and an MLB deal for baseball and American soccer.
But the NBA season is starting. So is this happening this week or next week?
This is next week. It's next Monday.
Next Monday.
It's this upcoming Monday.
Next Monday. Monday Night Football?
Could be.
Could be Monday Night Football related. I wonder if they're going to announce some sort of NFL deal or something. Well, you know, that I think their glasses are coming out in the new year, right? You're going to be able to buy their glasses in the first quarter. Is that right?
The goggles. Yeah. The Vision Pro goggles.
Vision goggles. Yeah.
That'll be first quarter for $3,000. By the way, I got the iPhone 15.
Yeah, me too.
I'm kind of liking it.
It's, the USB-C.
The USB-C, I never, like, this is the level of like pathetic, but it really is a game changer to carry one cable and not be like going around looking for two cables. That's where we're at with technology today. But boy, does the new operating system and the new processor feel snappy. I don't know if my old phone didn't feel as snappy, and the battery life feels a little better. I like this new, there's a little thing up top where the camera is, the front-facing camera. Did you notice it puts like logos in there? Like if you're watching CNBC, it puts the logo
dynamic
up there.
Island? Yeah, but what did you upgrade from? So you've been missing, because I had the 14, so the dynamic island the 14 is had very
that?
Cool.
What do they call that thing? The dynamic?
Island. Well, Uber. So the apps that do it the best are Uber Eats. So shout out, to your thing.
Shout out Uber Eats, Shout out Uber
net worth. Exactly, exactly. United Airlines. When you're on United, it will tell you the gate up there and then a countdown to your...
It is the most amazing thing of all time. It's like my favorite thing ever. It's amazing.
They literally thought that is...
They give you a countdown clock to when your flight starts boarding.
And it shows your little gate. It'll be like gate F2 and then countdown to your boarding.
They're just literally like, what are you opening up and looking at all the time?
Yeah.
The gate anxiety. They got you on the gate anxiety. We got you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got you.
And then when you're flying, it has a reverse countdown. You can kind of see like how long to your destination. Like, so it's like counts down.
I don't know if you saw this trending on Twitter, but the woman who worked at Twitter, Jessica, I'm forgetting her last name right now. She was on that flight. I was going into Seattle, Alaska Airlines. Where a co-pilot in the jump seat.
Oh, yeah. Tried to turn the engines off.
Turn off the engines?
Yeah.
Did you see this?
It was big news, locally here. It was huge on the news.
Yeah, it was big news on the West Coast. This crazy guy, this pilot, just decided he would. Yeah, Jessica Verrilli. I know her sister because she does the all-in meetups in the Bay Area. And she was on this flight with her two kids. And an off-duty Alaska Airline pilot was booked into jail on 83 attempted murder charges after he allegedly tried to shut off the engines.
Yeah.
The San Francisco bound plane. Yeah. Oh my God.
And the pilots tackled them, and then they put those, wrists, restraints. Yeah. Zip tied them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't let anybody know, man. I'm a child of 9/11. Anybody tries anything on my plane,
you're done. Yeah.
I'm taking you down. I'm the first guy getting up.
Cue the Taekwondo picture of J-Cal.
No, I'm just let's roll. Anybody tries any shenanigans on my flight with my kids? Let's roll.
No way.
And I'm counting, by the way, if you get saucy with the flight attendant and you decide that you're going to get into it with the flight attendant, I'm the first dad getting up.
Yeah.
You know the dad who gets up?
Yeah.
On the video, on the TikTok video, who tells the other person to sit down and shut up?
Yeah.
That's me. That's I'm you. Like first dad.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Got to be that way.
No nonsense on the flight. Folks.
No, not on flights, not anymore.
I don't understand what's going on. I understand during COVID people lost their minds, but listen, everybody, it's 3 years after COVID. No mas.
Yeah.
You get on a flight, you behave yourself. That's it. Yeah. I don't want to hear anybody saucy with the flight attendant. I don't want to hear anybody. I was at an Emirates out here, right next to me in first class. He's pounding scotch like it's iced tea.
Right.
He's on his third double. I never saw this in my life. The flight attendant said, listen, and I certainly never saw this in business class.
Yeah.
But I said, listen, I don't want to give you another. Yeah. Like shaking his glass kind of situation. Yeah. You know, the guy shaking the glass.
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah.
And he's like, you need another one. The guy's like, listen, I don't want to give you another one right now. You've had three. And I hear the number three. And I'm like, am I going to really have to tell this guy? Am I going to have to go into dad mode and tell the guy, listen, time for
on a 17 hour flight, too.
That was exactly what I was thinking. We were in hour two of a 17 hour flight. And
gotta get him a diaper.
Look, there it goes again. I held up my peace sign and I got a bunch of balloons in the AI.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the sign for balloons. Try it. Now it's not
happening. I've seen it come up a couple times. Yeah, who knows? All right, let's keep going. Just one thing on the Apple thing. This was the announcement I was talking about. So looks like M3 Max and M3 Pro are going to have 16 and 40 GPU cores.
What can you do with that? Should I put tires on my MacBook Pro and have it drive itself around town? I mean,
I think you can start running AI locally. That's an absurd
amount of processing power.
Maybe, yeah, maybe if we want to do a little speculation, could be a little local AI.
Apple so far behind that maybe they think, you know, the problem with Apple, and you see this with goggles, is in the race of like, don't worry, be crappy and get the product out there. Yeah. Apple doesn't play don't worry, be crappy. That's not their game. Yeah. They want to do take your time, tight is right.
Yeah.
Not don't worry, be crappy. They can't play in this AI game, and Siri sucks.
Yeah.
But I will say my ChatGPT virtual assistant, I've been playing with that where I talk to it.
Yeah.
It's quite compelling.
Like the demo that we did when you put it in audio mode.
It's kind of working now, and they have a bunch of different voices, and it's a little bit faster. I'm kind of liking it. I hate to say it, but I was just in the car, and I was, this is the, after we did our thing, and I was like, tell me the history of Saudi Arabia. Tell me the modern history of this. Tell me that. And I was asking a follow-up question. Yeah,
your AirPods in, or you don't use AirPods, you use the other one.
I was driving in the car.
Yeah.
And so I just had it up there like, it'll be her. And I'm just, you know, I was going to pick up my daughter and I had time. And I was like, I could listen to a podcast or I could talk to ChatGPT. So I started rapping ChatGPT and getting a little history lesson going.
All right. Okay.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
So for history, like for your drunk history uncle, shout out David Sachs, history uncle. History dad can get a lot out of this.
All right, let's keep rolling here. So, Jake, you sent this next one over.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so this is called... Summarize.tech. Very simple and clean UI. So I think they're just going for functionality right now, which is great. And to be honest, everyone's been talking about this Jared Kushner, Lex Friedman podcast, but it's like 3 hours long. And so I popped that in here. And this does a couple of interesting things, which I want to give them some credit on. If someone else has already done it, you can kind of go here and see recently summarized videos. And so, which is really good because you don't have to wait for it to do the work, which is smart, right? Because, you know, it makes no sense to kind of keep doing that as well. And so I thought that was really well done. And then from the summaries, in this case, you know, this was a 3 hour, 45 minute podcast and it created each hour, but then you can do like a little see more. And then if you want to kind of get into each section, you can kind of scan through it as well. So I thought that was really well done. You know, I thought it was
nice,
you
know, UX, simple,
like simple UX. Again, like this should probably be a part of YouTube. That's the problem. Like it shouldn't be like an external feature. It's a feature of YouTube rather than an external service. But I really like the simplicity of it. I liked how they've taken advantage of caching and, you know, taking advantage of sort of other people that are doing it. So you get this one basically happened instantaneously for me. So someone else must have done it.
Pretty neat. I like it. So let's I give this one like a B.
I'm going to give this. Like, yeah. I think I'm the same as you on this one. Like, again, the only risk for them is this naturally for the folks at Google should be a YouTube feature. Yeah.
I mean, it could be doing other interesting things here. Like if it summarized this video, you know, it could. People have summarized
this like this or some recommendations.
Yeah, it could be like, here's a summary of this section, but then here are the next questions to ask. Tell me about the history of Hamas. Tell me about the history of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So remember we were in that other Google sheet and it was giving you suggestions in the wizard, like anticipating your next question. Each of these could have sub questions, you know, you could prompt it. I'm a podcast listener looking to understand these conversations deeper. Tell me what question to ask next. For each hour of the pod, and it just comes up with 10 more questions to ask. So that could be kind of interesting. Scaling a business is hard. It's really hard, let's be honest. And when you're growing, things that used to take a few hours, well, now all of a sudden they take a week, they take 2 weeks, maybe they never get done. So you wind up getting bogged down. That's not what you need. You need to be efficient. You need to be light. You need to stick and move. And one way to stay efficient is to understand your KPIs. What does KPI stand for? No need to be embarrassed. Key performance indicator. So basically, these are the important metrics to track for performance against your objectives. Right now, you can download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist for free at netsuite.com/twist so you can catch up on a KPI checklist. If you're in SaaS, you probably heard some of these numbers and some of these acronyms, MAU, MRR, ARPU, Average Revenue Per User, and NetSuite's KPI checklist will teach you to identify and understand your strategic objectives, and then how to collect and analyze the data, and so much more. Identifying KPIs are going to make you more efficient. Your team's going to be happier. You're going to be happier as the boss. And right now, increasing margins and getting profitable is the name of the game. KPIs is the road to that. So here's your call to action. NetSuite is everything you need, all in one place. Download NetSuite's KPI checklist for free at netsuite.com/twist. That's netsuite.com/twist to get your KPI checklist right now.
Okay, next one. So we're going to pop back. We're going to do a couple with our friends at Google again.
Because
they keep innovating. They keep innovating. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to see it. Like, it's, you know, era of innovation.
Okay, Sundar.
All right.
Stocks down a bit.
You know, but they got to keep pushing.
Yes.
Okay, so here, what you see now is in your Google Workspaces, if you have AI for Workspaces enabled, when you start a new Google Doc, in this case, like a blank one here.
Classic untitled doc.
You help me write. And so...
Look at that, it's a prompt right in the white space, in the doc
and say, okay,
yeah,
okay, help me write a performance review for Nick. Okay, I want... to highlight his strengths. Let's just say as being on time, doing good research. Give me one more, J-Cow.
And his jovial disposition.
Okay, great. Areas he needs to work on are his hairstyle. That is doing his
personal hygiene.
Personal.
And inappropriate banter. Saying.
What's he doing here?
You get a little inappropriate. Here we go.
I sound like Chris Farley.
Yeah, or Belushi. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I'm going to do this. And so, and I showed the Greg one before while it generates that. So I have this one here that I did for Greg.
Sure.
Fictitious Greg. Oh, wait, we're still learning. Yeah. I can't help with that. Try another request. Wow, really?
What?
That's crazy.
You just did it. This is always weird. I hate when it tells you not to do it, and then you tell it, it's okay, you can do it, and it does it.
Yeah, just do it. Right? Okay, here we go.
And it did it. Second try's a charm.
Yeah. And so you can kind of go here, and I really like this. You can say elaborate tone. So you can change the tone. So you can say make the tone more formal, and then you can have it elaborate. And, Jacob, I'm bringing this up because, look, last week we did the images inside of...
So it says here, Nick is a valuable member of the team. He is punctual and completes his assignments on time. He's also a good researcher. But then, however, Nick needs to improve on his personal hygiene. He has a habit of coming to work with unkept hair and body odor. Come on, Nick. He also needs to be careful about his jokes. He sometimes makes inappropriate jokes that makes his colleagues uncomfortable. Nick, please.
Yeah. And I love that
we should elaborate on the body odor. Elaborate on the body odor.
And
bad breath. You
know, J-Cal, you've been building companies and managing people for a long time, and performance review is important. And sometimes it's hard to build out get started. And so you do this,
the cold
you
hit start insert. Problem is real.
And there you are, you're done.
I mean, the crazy thing about this is if you actually know your points to put them in full sentences, this does a wonderful job. So for people who have writer's block, this is going to do it. I was writing a deal memo, and we have a section in our deal memos for the syndicate where it says the bet. And, people have a hard time writing the bet. So I've been having my associates, managing directors, et cetera, I give a shot at writing the bet, and then I basically approve it or write it. And every time, it's not as good as I want it to be.
Yeah.
And the last time I said, I just highlighted what you wrote in Notion AI.
Yeah.
And I said, make it better. They just have a button that says make it better.
Make it better. Yeah.
And I was like, it's so much better, the Notion one.
Yeah.
So your original ideas are just presented much better.
Yeah.
Can you do me the honor save us all
the time? But now, you're using Notion, but if Google Docs is your platform, think about how, what this is going to do. I think it's well executed.
That's 4 hours of work that, somebody puts on their to-do list. That's going to take them 2-4 hours. And if they got to do 10 of those and it's 20 hours of work, it's 3 days of work. They'd be like, the boss would be like, hey, what are you doing this week? It's like, oh, this is performance review week.
Week. Yeah.
No, seriously. And now it'd be like performance review day.
Yeah.
And you know what? Now highlight that review here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that review. Okay, and I want you to say, you're Nick. Write a rebuttal to this review that asks for a 20% raise.
Okay. But that they don't allow that to happen.
Oh, they don't let you do that. But you could copy this into...
Oh, yeah. I could copy it into ChatGPT.
Put it into ChatGPT 4 and say, this is my performance review. Write me a rebuttal that doesn't make me look defensive and ask for a 20% raise. That's a good one. And so what should happen in the future, your AI should know automatically to do this and try to get you to do it, right? It should know when you get a performance review, you should write a review that's not defensive. Let's see what happens here. Dear manager's name, JCow, I want to express my gratitude for providing my recent performance review. I genuinely value the opportunity to understand. Oh my God, this is such a whole lot of horseshit. Firstly, I'm proud to acknowledge the positive feedback, particularly my research skills. Regarding feedback about my personal hygiene, I sincerely apologize for the discomfort I may have caused to my colleagues. Nicely done, Nick. I recognize the importance of maintaining a professional appearance and the impact it has on the work environment. Please understand that personal circumstances have temporarily affected my routine, but I'm committed to addressing this immediately, ensure it doesn't continue. Wow, what a great excuse. Well done, Nick. As for
this
the
feels
jokes,
like character assassination.
It's just a joke. Nick does not. Nick's hygiene is second to none.
Not second to none.
I mean, it's incredible. The guy smells like roses. As for the jokes, I understand that humor can be subjective, and sometimes, despite my best intentions, a joke might not land as intended. This sounds like me, actually. I appreciate the insight. This sounds like
I was
going to
say, I'm usually the get back guy for Jason.
Exactly. Yeah, this is me talking to my wife. I appreciate the insights on this and will be more vigilant about ensuring my humor aligns with workplace appropriateness. Not bad, Nick. You did a good job.
And then here comes for the raise. Considering my commitment to the company, the constant positive feedback in several areas, and the value I bring to the team, I kindly request a salary adjustment of 20%.
Well, that's a big number. I believe this reflects both the current market value of my role. And I mean, my Lord, this would have taken somebody like 2 weeks of like hand wringing and edits.
And stress and, you know, like asking
and
a friend.
Done.
Like you go to your friends, be like, oh, I got to reply to my manager. What should
I
say?
So now I want you to copy that. And then I want you to write that. I want you to put that into Claude AI and then tell Claude AI that market conditions don't allow us to give a 20% raise, but we're happy to do a 4% adjustment for the cost of living. Yeah, don't do it. It's just, you can see where this is going, everybody. So I'm going to just say that Google AI writes for, that AI writes for Google as presented. That's an A for me.
Yeah. That's okay. A. Another A. Okay. Yeah. I think it's an A. Like, you know, in fact, I found it because I was trying to work on something. And then basically, I've been using it like every single day now.
I just want to say, as a writer, I would say this is a bummer for me because, like, I used to be able to do all this stuff, but I'll be totally honest, I hate doing this stuff. And if this, like, the people who work for me can just do this, because what happens is ultimately myself or producer Jackie, who used to work on the show and is now a managing director, all this writing stuff winds up coming to our desk. Somebody's like, oh, I need help writing this. And it's like, oh, producer Jackie's the writer at the company. JCow's the writer at the company. Go to them. They'll write the copy. And I'd just rather everybody be able to write good copy from the get. And then I can just do my pixie dust, you know, a little bit of flair on it.
Yeah.
You know, and then eventually it'll probably understand how I do flair and it'll just do a little
kind of just like, you know, how we did the originality. Maybe instead of being 100% AI, you add it and it becomes like 90% AI, but the 10% flair is human and that's okay.
Perfect. I like it. Great job. I'm giving it an A. So send this to Sundar. You got an A. You finally got your A. Not A plus, but A.
Okay. Last one. Okay. I'll say I had a Google Sheets one, but I'll save it because I have two more to go. Actually, let's do Google Sheets and we'll save the Bard for next week. So very similar theme here inside of Google Sheets. You know, when you start a new sheet, you get this little tab that comes in from the right hand side. This helped me organize, and so it gives you ideas like, you know, wedding event planner, a zoo, a different animal, kitchen remodel task list. And so you guys run conferences, JCow. So what I was going to say is let's pop in one. Like if you were wanted to create some kind of checklist for a conference, what would you?
Yeah, let's make a run of show for a corporate conference. That's 3 days long with 16 speakers a day. We'll see if it understands run of show.
Okay, that's it?
That's it.
Let's see what it does. I don't know if it's like the same kind of issue or let me grab this. I don't know if it's like a refresh issue because it's like, it's a weird error that it gives there. Yeah. It's a weird error.
Okay. So let's give it a shot here.
Let's do it again. And oh my God, that's terrible. Uh-oh, that's not good.
Okay, Sundar, this is the don't worry, be crappy mode that we're in with AI. Yeah. You got to build stuff and you got to throw it out in the world, and it's saying we're unable to generate any results based on your prompt. Please try again. Yeah. Let's do another prompt. Please create a budget for a 3-day corporate conference for 150 executives. Include food, lodging, and entertainment. You know, this is something somebody might do, right? Somebody on my team might do something like this. Somebody on your team might do an offsite meeting like this. Let's see if it makes an actual budget for a 3-day corporate conference for 150 executives, including food, lodging, and entertainment. All right. Lodging, 200 pros. Okay. Let's hit insert and see what happens. What happens next?
Yeah, it just kind of dropped it in here.
It's kind of weak sauce. Let's try again. It didn't do a good job on that. It just put like $200 a person for dinner, and it didn't even put it in sales. So what will we do here that could be very interesting? Please create a P&L for a startup in the software industry. That's a pretty good one, right? That's like a template they must have somewhere. I must understand.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah.
See if it does it here. This could be a chance to... Okay.
No.
No, we did a quarterly report. Yeah. Cost us. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So sorry, Sundar. You got an A for Docs. Yep. The Google Sheets team has failed horribly, and they're getting an F. This is an F. You failed.
Well, I picked one of their examples, which was like a new product launch.
Sure. Yeah. And this one, it nailed. Sorry. I nailed the example. Yeah. Okay, great. I give it an F. What do you give this pathetic performance?
I'm in that range, you know. Like, right, look, so these things are hard to do. Yeah.
All right. Plus from Sunny. All right, everybody. This has been another episode of This Week in Stardust for Sandeep Matra. I am Jay Cow, the world's greatest moderator. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.